appreciate the opportunity to bring a lesson to you that I've been working on for some time. If you're visiting with us, and I don't see anybody visiting, but if you are visiting with us, I'd like to especially welcome you, let you know that we're not going to embarrass you. There's not going to be anybody any more embarrassed than I am tonight, and so if you're visiting with us, you don't have anything to worry about. Hopefully we will do something tonight in our singing or in our prayer, in our study of God's Word tonight that will encourage you to come back and visit with us and worship with us at that time. I encourage you to participate with us as much as possible. Look up the scriptures that we talk about and read them. Hopefully you can take them home with you even and study them and keep that in mind. There is a saying that in the absence of true leadership, the people will hear and follow any voice. Some of you may have heard that expression before. Seems like the older I get, the more I hear it. And it's going to come up a few times in our lesson tonight. So let me say it again. In the absence of true leadership, the people will follow any voice. To introduce our lesson tonight, I asked Travis if he was familiar with this song that is on the board, the 90 and 9, and he was not real confident about it. He said it was an old song, and I thought, yeah, I'm an old guy. So I always appreciate when Travis reminds me of that. It is kind of an old song, but I think y'all know it. I'm hoping you do. And I'd like to handle it a little bit different tonight because it's a good song and it tells a good story. And like I said, it's a good basis for our lesson tonight. I'd like you to pay special attention to the words that are in it because of the story that it tells. And because of that, I'm going to ask you to allow me to lead it in a little different way. And you'll see what I mean in just a minute. But you can't see this because of the way that we do this on the board. But if you were looking at the songbook, on the very last verse, the very last stanza, it says, "Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own." When we get to the fifth verse, when we finish the song, we're going to go back and sing that one stanza again. But what I'd like to do different is, there's five verses to this song. I'd like for this side to sing the first two verses. And then so that we can all keep up with it, I'll walk over here. And then this side, which is heavily populated tonight, we'll sing the third and fourth verse, and then I'll move to the middle and we'll sing the fifth verse. And I believe this will work well and it'll give you an opportunity to really look at the words. And so I hope we can all follow along. Let's all sing. There were nine and nine that safely lay in the shelter of the
away from the tender shepherd's care, away.
Thank you very much. While this song is dedicated to the rescue of a missing lamb from the fold, our Good Shepherd is so much more than a rescuer only. And our study this evening, hopefully you've already figured out from this song that we sang, is about the Good Shepherd. And tonight I would like to inspire your thinking about the Great Shepherd, our Good Shepherd. And if I'm successful in my lesson tonight, my goal is for us, each one of us, to feel much closer to Him than we have been. I want you to know, when I began this study, I actually began this study for my own benefit. I have looked for ways to reduce stress in my life for many years. And I've especially looked for ways to reduce stress in my life for the last 3 years because of an event that I had in my life that was 3 years ago this coming Friday. And I felt like Matthew chapter 6 was a good way to reduce stress in my life. And studying Paul's letters, especially the book of Philippians, was a good way to reduce stress in my life. But I also felt like that the story of the Good Shepherd might be one of the best ways for me to reduce stress in my life and be the right kind of example that I needed to be to others, partly for that. Now, the benefit, I hope, to all of us is, if you think about it, one thing that our world today really needs is a good shepherd. And I go back to our saying, which was, in the absence of true leadership, the people will follow any voice. And what greater leader have we had in our history than when the Son of God came to earth and taught us how to live, and taught us how to love, and then died for us on the cross? We need to get that message out to the world. So to begin our study, the first thing that I'd like for us to look at is what the Bible teaches as what the duties and the responsibilities are of a good shepherd. Now, hopefully some of you remember, back in May, I taught a lesson about sheep. And I had to do a lot of studying about it because I've never owned sheep. But I found the study very interesting. And then, coincidentally enough, after my lesson, Brother Butler talked with me. He had preached at a congregation out west where they raised sheep. And so I don't think I messed anything up from what I had studied, but he gave me a lot more insight to sheep. So rather than challenge that tonight, I wanted us just to look at what the Bible teaches about what a shepherd does. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, we find that the shepherd provides for the needs of his sheep. It's the main responsibility of a shepherd, and that makes sense, doesn't it? In Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, and in verse 9, we find out that the shepherd will lead and guide his sheep in the way. So, he provides for their needs, and he leads them and guides them. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, we find out that it's the shepherd's responsibility to go find sheep that are lost. The basis for our song that we sang tonight. So we've got the shepherd providing for the needs of all the sheep in the fold, leading and guiding them, and then when one gets lost, it's the shepherd's responsibility to go find that sheep. In Isaiah 48, verse 17, we find out that the shepherd's job is to teach and instruct the sheep. Sheep are very mild creatures. They have very little defense mechanism. They have to be taught to go eat, they have to be taught to go drink. Even though you'd think survival would teach them that, that's what the shepherd has to teach them. And best as possible, teach them how to survive. In the Psalms, chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 46, verses 1 through 11, chapter 91, verses 1 through 16, we find out that the shepherd protects his sheep and shields them from danger. Look at these responsibilities adding up for the shepherd. so unlike so many jobs that you might think about, especially with livestock. Providing for their needs, leading and guiding them, seeking one when it's lost, teaching and instructing them, protecting and shielding them. But it gets even more responsible than that, because we find out in John chapter 10, verse 11, a scripture we're going to study a little bit more about, we find out that the shepherd's responsibility is actually, when necessary, to give his life for the sheep, for the livelihood, for the benefit of the sheep, because the especially back in those days, they were so dependent on the sheep. And then in Psalms chapter 100 and verse 3, hopefully a lot of you have that memorized, we're reminded that we can make that comparison to ourselves, because the psalmist says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Jesus, in recognizing the value, also used sheep and the shepherd in the things that he taught. And in John chapter 10, and if you want to open your Bibles for that, we're going to look at a few verses there. I'm not going to read it exactly from there, but you can follow this. John chapter 10, Jesus in his teaching says, let me make this as plain to you as I possibly can. If a person climbs over or through a fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know that that person is up to no good. They are a sheep rustler. The shepherd can walk right up to the gate. The gatekeeper will open the gate to him, and the sheep immediately recognize the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, because he's taught them his voice, and he's taught them to follow his instructions. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow him because they are familiar with his voice. They will not follow a stranger's voice. They will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of that. Imagine that. They get used to the shepherd's voice, and then the shepherd's voice is all that they will hear. Jesus told this very simple story, yet we see here that the disciples did not know what he was talking about. So he tried again. He said, let me be explicit. I am the gate for the sheep, he says. All those others are up to no good. They are sheep stealers, every one of them. Even though the sheep don't listen to them, they still try to steal the sheep. But they will not, because I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. They will freely go in and out, and they will find pasture. They will survive, and they will flourish. A thief is only there to kill and to steal and to destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they've ever dreamed of. Jesus went on to explain, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, and he sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired hand is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. A hired hand sees danger, sees a wolf coming, and he will run for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. He's not a true shepherd, because the sheep don't matter to him. When I think of sheep, and when I think of the shepherd, I think of that song. There's a few other songs in our songbook that are a reminder of that. But if I asked you, what scripture in the Bible you're reminded of when I talk about a shepherd, what do you think of? I hope you think of Psalm 23. Now, unfortunately, over the years, when do we find Psalm 23 read the most? At a funeral. We should be reading that all the time, and instead, it has become, like some of our songs, funeral songs, Psalms 23 has become a scripture. And I got to admit, I've done several funerals. I find myself, especially at the gravesite, reading Psalm 23 because of the comfort that it gives. But it's such an important scripture, and it's one that's good for us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. T. Can you say that? Say it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Our government is not my shepherd. Is it? My job is not my shepherd. My TV is not my shepherd. My cell phone is not my shepherd. The Titans are not my shepherd. The Volunteers are not my shepherd. The Crimson Tide is not my shepherd. The Predators are not my shepherd. Country music is not my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. How many times before tonight have you said that? That should be almost like a mantra for us. The Lord is my shepherd. In times of need, the Lord is my shepherd. In times of rejoicing, because the Lord brings back His own, the Lord is my shepherd. When we're encouraging others, we should say, the Lord is my shepherd. What greater encouragement than to remind folks of how strong and how powerful and beneficial that our shepherd is. Think of the things that we just talked about, that the benefits of a shepherd were. Jesus taught it Himself. And He told us that He is the good shepherd. This is what the psalmist says that a good shepherd does. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Do you ever think about what that means? I'm going to tell you what that reminds me of. And I'm sorry, Sister Joan, it's not here. Lying down in green pastures is sinking a putt on a par three on the second shot and lying down on the green and celebrating it for just a second. If you play golf, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not even going to pretend like I could hit a hole in one, but maybe on the second shot I could get a birdie. And that would be lying down on the green for a minute. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, cool, restful. Tired, a place to sleep. Think about a shepherd leading his sheep on a really hot day, and they have fed and they have watered, and now it's time for them to rest. So he makes them to lie down in a safe place in green pastures. The psalmist says, he restores my soul. If you're discouraged, if you're sad, if you're depressed, he will lift the sheep off the ground back onto their feet, because he restores the soul. He renews our soul. The psalmist says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If we are in the sheepfold, then we can see him leading us to what is right. Think about a shepherd and the staff that they carry, the rod and the staff that they carry. It's really tall, so that wherever the sheep are, they can see the shepherd, and they can have trust in the shepherd, and they can feel safe, because if they can see that staff, then they know they're safe. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. They trust the shepherd. Wherever he's leading, they can follow, and they'll be safe, and they'll be fed, and they'll be watered. The psalmist tells us that he is protecting us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to be afraid. Ever been in a life-threatening situation? We have nothing to fear because our shepherd is with us. I will fear no evil. With thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, because we can look for that rod and the staff of the good shepherd and know that we're safe. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Think about that. regardless of the danger, we can be in a room with our enemies, and the Lord will protect us and even feed us in front of our enemies. He will provide food for us in front of our enemies, and we can safely eat. In the culture back then, you would never do that. And it's brought down. Ever remember the Westerns where, and there's still people today that you'll go out to eat with them, and they will always sit so they can see the door. Don't they? They've got to have their back to a wall because they've got to see the door. And in the Westerns, that's what they did because you never knew who was going to come through with guns blazing. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. In those days, the oil had a healing power. We even find in the New Testament where we're taught when somebody's sick to put oil on their head, making a little bit of a comeback. There's essential oils that are out there now. We're finding out that there's certain oils that will refresh us, that will give us energy, more natural than some of the medicines that we take. The psalmist tells us that our cups will run over. Not only will we get a full cup, it will be overflowing. If we let him, if we let the good shepherd do it, his care will abound to being almost too much. Remember what he tells us, what we're taught about giving? That if we give, it'll return to us, mashed down, pressed down, and overflowing. Our cups will run over if we trust the good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is his commitment to always be there for us. That's what the good shepherd does. That no one else, that nothing else can do. It's a true and sincere leader who's actually seeks our best interest. What did I leave out? The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's our commitment to the good shepherd. There's a story that y'all may have heard about a young boy in a Bible class, and the teacher required her students to memorize the 23rd Psalm. You know, as teachers, if we don't do that, we are missing the boat. We need our students to memorize verses out of the Bible. Hopefully all of you have memory verses that you remember. But this young boy struggled with Psalms 23. And he worked on it, and he worked on it, and he worked on it. And it was one of those times where, to show off her class, the teacher was going to bring all the students out and have them recite Psalms 23. So when he got that little boy's turn, he walked up to the microphone and he stood there for a minute and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." Andrew Carnegie said, "No one will make a great leader who wants to do it all by himself or to get all the credit for doing it." Stephen Covey said, "What you do has far greater impact than what you say as a leader." Remember what I asked you to remember: in the absence of true, genuine leadership, that the people will follow any voice. I've thought about that a lot over the years in different jobs I've had with different managers, some successful leadership and some unsuccessful leadership, and I've thought about that a lot. In the absence of true leadership, the people will follow any voice. Like any great saying, do you know that actually has a biblical basis? The writer of Proverbs says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." When Franklin Daytimer partnered with the Stephen Covey Foundation on Management, they came out with this Daytimer. I don't know whether any of y'all have had follow a Daytimer or not. The Daytimer is not my shepherd. Nowadays, Outlook is not my shepherd. But one of the things that Stephen Covey taught and we've got just a minute. Let me show you this. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes. All right? Without opening your eyes, point north, please. All right, open your eyes and look around, and you'll see that we're pointing in every different direction. So I get out my phone. Anybody point that way? That's north. See the point? If I said, we're going to go north, we're going to go that way, then we'd all know which way was north, wouldn't we? And we would know which direction that we needed to go in. We have a leader in the world today. Now, the question is, so many people today don't recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Have you noticed that in your teachings? Have you noticed that in talking to people? As I've grown up, I have noticed a slipping away of people that even believe in Jesus Christ. Even some people who consider themselves spiritual don't believe in the Good Shepherd. So, how do we get people to recognize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Good Shepherd and the benefits that He affords them by following Him? I'm going to guess that probably 97 or 8% of the people that are in here are members of the church and believers in Jesus Christ. So it's difficult for us to imagine when we go out in the world, maybe, that that percentage drops immediately when we step out that door. So how do we get people to recognize that He is the shepherd? They have to see Him in us. That's how they recognize that He is. I used to think it was a compliment when people would ask me if I was a Christian. And then I got to examining myself and I thought, they shouldn't have to ask me that. They should know that I'm a Christian. Now, maybe I was being overcritical, I don't know. But it really made me examine myself. They shouldn't have to ask me that. They should see that I follow the Good Shepherd without even asking me. How we treat our families and the members of our family will show people that we follow a Good Shepherd. How we treat our friends will show people that we have a Good Shepherd. How we treat our parents will show people that we follow the Good Shepherd. How we treat our children will show people that we have a Good Shepherd, that we have the right leader. How we treat our coworkers will teach people that we have a Good Shepherd. How we treat shoppers at Kroger's will teach people that we have a Good Shepherd. How we treat people at Walmart will teach people that we have a Good Shepherd. How we treat people on the highways will show people that we follow the Good Shepherd. How we behave will teach people that we have a Good Shepherd, that we have a leader that's worth following. Is that difficult to do? If it's not difficult for you, then let me trade places with you right now. Because it is difficult to do. But the more we do it, the easier it gets. The more a sheep follows the shepherd in the fold, the easier it gets for that sheep. Do you know that if a sheep continually escaped from the sheepfold, do you know what the shepherd used to do? He'd break their leg. He would break their leg to stop them from escaping. So, the more we follow the shepherd, the easier the shepherd is to follow, and the more that people will follow us. So what's the secret? What's the secret to success? I want to give you a recipe that I believe works. And it's a really simple recipe. Okay? A lot of people have tried to follow it and they've given up on it. And when I tell you the recipe, you'll understand what I'm talking about and you will agree with me that a lot of folks have tried it and couldn't do it. And we see it. But for those of us who will commit to it and know which direction is north and follow the Good Shepherd and practice it and live it, we will change Shelbyville and we will change the world. It works. Paul had a special kinship to the church in Ephesus. You remember the church in Ephesus? That's the congregation that he visited on two missionary journeys. That's the congregation where Demetrius the silversmith was making his living in Ephesus by selling shrines to this goddess. And when Paul came in, he got really upset because Paul was affecting his livelihood and he created a riot. You remember Ephesus? Well, Paul had a special kinship to those people. He really loved them. And he told the church in Ephesus the secret. And it's found in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, after exhorting the people to put off the old man and put on the new man and be renewed in the spirit of the mind, he gave them these helpful suggestions. And he said, put away lying. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Steal no more. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Speak gracefully and edify others. Tough enough for you yet? We're not done. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that gives us talents to exercise, do not grieve that Holy Spirit. Become an expert at performing your talents. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You have just cleansed your mind. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the house? He compared it to a house. He said, if you take a house full of evil spirits and you cast all the evil spirits out of it and then you don't fill it up with good, what happens? You remember? The evil spirits all come back. Well, that's what Paul says. When you cleanse your mind, your attitude of all those things, you got to fill it up with something. And he tells us in verse 31 and 32 what to fill it up with. Be kind one to another. Be tender-hearted. Forgive one another. There's your simple recipe. Be kind, be tender-hearted, and forgive one another. And people will see the Good Shepherd in our lives. Now, we can't put those on until we get rid of those evil spirits that we just listed. Kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. As individuals, we need to do this. As a church, we need to do this. Our city needs a leader. Our country needs a leader. Our world needs a leader. And the leader is there. It's the Good Shepherd. There's no application you have to fill out. You don't have to submit a resume. You just decide that you're going to follow the Good Shepherd. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then there are certain steps that you have to take to do that. You believe, you repent, you confess that He is the Son of God, and then you're baptized. Because 97% to 98% of you are already believers and followers. I don't have to tell you that. But I told you that just in case that 2 or 3%, you haven't done that. What I want to ask you to do is, if something has touched your heart and you can change that from where you're standing in a few moments when we sing a song, then I'm going to challenge you to do that. Because this is not a difficult thing to do. It just takes the commitment that we know which direction is north, and that's to follow the Good Shepherd. Maybe you need the prayers of the saints. Maybe it's not necessarily a confession of sins. Maybe it would just be nice to come forward and ask everybody to pray for you to help you do that. We don't talk about that enough. It becomes an embarrassing thing to come forward, and it's not an embarrassing thing to come forward. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you need the prayers of the saints. You just come and ask. None of us are perfect. It's an easy thing to do to pray for each other because we all need those prayers. The Good Shepherd promises, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. How many leaders in the world can promise us that? How many folks, how many things that unfortunately get set up as leaders let us down? Not the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd will lead us. Don't be like the lost sheep in the song that we sang. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. If you need to answer his call in any way, then let me encourage you to do that while we stand together and sing. Brother Travis.